Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to be with you this morning as we talk about arts and culture on today's edition of All Sides Weekend. And I have looked forward to this program for several weeks because we are going to be talking with probably at least the country, if not the world's greatest art administrator, that is Sherry Gelden. I can say it if I want. It's my show. Don't be giggling over there. Sherry Gelden is the executive director of the Wexner Center for the Arts. She is somewhat unbelievably leaving us in February, and we are way overdue to say hello to Sherry Gelden and catch up with her and really pay tribute to the years that she has spent taking Columbus International through her work at the Wexner Center. And to help us do that, another of my favorite arts administrators, Chad Whittington, who is the president and chief executive officer at CAPA, the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts, and who is also an amateur pilot. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
And a special thank you to somebody who stepped up to join us rather late in the game, and I'm delighted to welcome Michael Mercel, who is a professor of art at The Ohio State University, who has worked closely with the Wexner Center and other institutions throughout your career. So welcome, everybody. Sherry Gelden, you came to the Wexner Center in 1993 when the center was 4 years old. So when you arrived in night, first of all, I'm not sure, where did you come from?
I came from Los Angeles, where I had lived pretty much my whole life, with the exception of a stint in New York during graduate school. And I had been at the Museum of Contemporary Art there as the associate director for over a decade.
So you're in Los Angeles, you were in New York briefly, and someone said, you have to go to Columbus, Ohio, and you said what?
Well, first I had to go to the map and find Columbus, Ohio. I don't mean to sound snooty, but, you know, those of us coastal people weren't so familiar with the geography in the middle. But the truth of the matter is that I was aware of Columbus through the Wexner Center. The arts field is very incestuous in some ways, and we all follow one another. And in L.A. and certainly around the country and even internationally, people had heard of this bold experiment in the heartland to create a multidisciplinary art center on the campus of The Ohio State University, situated in an even bolder building designed by Peter Eisenman. And we at MoCA had actually lent work to some of the opening shows at the Wexner Center. So I was aware of its already developing reputation as a laboratory and a place of really rigorous inquiry into the arts in all forms.
I was there the other day to see a film. It was the day after Thanksgiving, which was a nice day to be out. And the center, the galleries were packed with people, too. And what I love about the Wexner Center is that it does have this international reach. But a lot of us can walk there. You know? Seriously, a lot of us can walk there. We can drive there. We can take the bus. It's easy for us to get there.
You can ride a scooter.
We can ride a scooter. I would fall. Never mind. I'm not going to ride a scooter. But it's very, very accessible. And there's a lot going on. But when you first saw it and you walked through, what came to mind?
I will admit that I was initially a little dizzy walking through it. The two buildings that I was familiar with inhabiting at MoCA were very, very different, one by Arata Isozaki, another an old warehouse renovated by Frank Gehry, each in their way very different from one another. But the Eisenman building was something that one couldn't really anticipate. The kind of congruence and incongruence of angles, the constantly changing floor levels and floor patterns, the pretty much lack of right angles was very unusual at that point for a space that was meant for exhibiting work. What I loved about it, though, was that it also had this film video theater and a black box performance space and Mershon Auditorium. So it meant that there was virtually nothing we couldn't do.
Also, is it fair to say that at least when you got here, the building itself was the exhibit? Because the building was and is still considered unusual and iconic, really.
It is an iconic building. I think it's a brilliant building for all of its idiosyncrasies and its complexities. And sometimes it can be a vexing building. We can sometimes find ourselves in the middle of the Wexner Center. But the truth is that the staff has been so agile and expert in finding ways to make the building work. And what's especially incredible to watch is how artists make it work. And that's something we take a lot of pride in.
By the way, your staff stays with you. People don't leave the Wexner Center. They may retire, but your but your staff stays with you.
We've had some folks there that have been there longer than I have and some who came shortly after me. We have also launched some amazing arts professionals into the world who are now populating cultural institutions around the country and even internationally. So there are a few who get away.
Chad Whittington, you as the president of Kappa, you are the landlord, if you will, for all of the big theaters downtown and elsewhere in New Albany. And you were also at the Drexel, I think, as well. So you really have not just your thumbs, but your hands on the arts and all of its aspects in Columbus. Can you talk a little bit about what the Wexner Center feeds into for what you do, what the relationship might be?
Well, absolutely. I get the question once in a while, and I always scratch my head when I do about competition between the Wexner Center and, you know, what Kappa does or what some of the arts organizations in town do. That's not true at all. We complement each other. When you think about what happens up at the Wex, it's just it brings in a lot of things that wouldn't come to Columbus if they were there. So it's great. I think whenever we expand the community, it's an amazing thing for the arts. So folks that come down and enjoy Broadway shows, for example, on a larger scale in a 2,800-seat theater, that's wonderful. But then the Wex gives them these opportunities to come and see things on a smaller scale or walk through and see the visual displays on their own. That's what we need in this community is an arts scene that is from top to bottom provides everything that there is in the arts world. And that's what the Wex does is gives us these things, wouldn't come to Columbus otherwise, are important on the national and international level, and they fill a niche in Columbus that nobody else does.
The Wexner Center does seriously get a lot of international reach. It's well known in the art world and beyond that, wherever you go. What is the actual relationship, aside from the physical space of the Wexner Center, to Columbus?
The Wexner Center is located here, and art making and arts experiences are all about place. So we don't diminish our relationship to Columbus or to The Ohio State University, which also adds a kind of richness of all manner of academic and intellectual and creative pursuits and talents that are right at our front and back doors. It's kind of fabulous that way. But at the same time, we recognize that the world of contemporary art
is a world,
and it is an international, multilingual world, and it is a multidisciplinary world. And so we have really seen the center as something of a kind of nexus for import and export of creative ideas, creative talents, creative discovery, and bringing all of that together for the experience primarily of people who live here, as well as visitors, of course. But we have really seen ourselves as part of a larger network of institutions, and we collaborate with first-tier institutions in the world of film, in the world of performing arts, in the world of architecture and design, and, of course, the visual arts. And that has allowed us to really sort of fulfill a kind of ambition that is a borderless ambition when it comes to cultural production, cultural experimentation, and the experience of the ideas that artists are constantly probing wherever they may live.
Borderless. I like that very much. That's a wonderful. Michael Mercer, you are an artist and an academic. You have a relationship with the Wexner Center. Can you talk about what the center has meant to your own work and your own study, your own creativity?
Sure. And it maybe is useful to talk a bit about what it's also meant to my life here. I arrived about the same time Sherry did. I came in April of 1993. Really for two reasons. The first reason was love. I came to be married to Ann Hamilton, a local artist who's probably familiar, whose name is familiar to some of your audience members. And the second reason I came was because of the Wexner Center, which, in fact, I did know, moving from Minneapolis, where the Walker Art Center was.
Yeah, you came from a...
The Walker had been... really the place where I came of age as a young artist, attending college in Minneapolis and really seeing my first contemporary art exhibitions there. And so coming to here, I would just like to second some of what we were talking about before, because I think Sherry deserves enormous credit for steering the Wexner Center in a direction that has really opened the world to our Columbus community, and also the Wexner Center really has welcomed the world into its doors. And in the 23 years I've lived here as an artist, I feel like it's been through their programming with an ever-expanding choice and context of the many kinds of arts disciplines they're involved with, not just the visual arts, but also their performing arts have been really key to my own imaginative and intellectual development. And they've also been an important bridge to the university community. Particularly, I can speak to some of my own projects. I've worked with the Wexner Center now for over 10 years, 10 or 15 years on a variety of projects outside, mostly through something Ann and I invented when we came to teach at Ohio State called the Living Culture Initiative. And I've had three projects on the same plot. The last one called Site Set Aside, which has just been finished in the last year. Before that, there was something called the Virtual Pasture. And before that, something called the Bean Field. And Sherry is a yes person to these ridiculous projects that were really trying to implant me at the Ohio State University.
Interesting that you just said that, because a few years ago, Ann Bogart sat in that chair and she said those exact same words about you. Sherry Gilden is a yes person. I've heard that before, yeah.
Ask my staff.
Well, but it's more or less, I mean, you look at the building and you look at the genres and everything, and it's like nothing's impossible. Try it, you know?
Yeah.
Be prepared to fail, but fail big. Fail wonderful.
Big.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I think another thing just to talk a bit about is I think Sherry has also been an amazing steward of the architecture of the Wexner Center itself. I think it was when the Wexner was, what, its 20th anniversary that it went through the renovation?
Oh, no, way before that. So it was between 2002 and 2005. So it was barely 10 years old.
Barely
when we
10
began.
Years old. Because it, even when I go in there now, I mean, it's a much different building. It's a much better building after the renovation than it was. I think we forget it's lighter, it's more controlled. The galleries were more opened.
There's a flow now.
It has a sense of flow, and it has a sense of welcome. And it can be a complicated building visually, and it can also be a stunning building visually. One of my favorite exhibitions was I was trained as a sculptor, and when the David Smith painted sculpture exhibition was here, I felt like I've never seen his work look better. I'd never seen the galleries and the building look better. It was really a very special time and place to be here in Columbus.
Hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. We will be right back talking about Sherry Gilden and the Wexner Center. Don't go away. We are back, continuing our conversation on today's All Sides Weekend, talking about the Wexner Center for the Arts here in Columbus and its executive director, Sherry Gelden. She is here along with Michael Mercel, who was a professor of art at The Ohio State University and obviously an artist, and my BFF, Chad Whittington, who is president and CEO of Kappa, all here to celebrate Sherry Gelden and the Wexner Center. And Sherry and Michael, I just wanted to finish up. You were talking, Sherry, off mic, describing a little bit of some of Michael's installations, which would sound incredibly tantalizing.
Well, you have to understand that Michael is a kind of integrated thinker, and he doesn't think about art without thinking about culture. He doesn't think about culture without thinking about agriculture. He doesn't think about Ohio State without thinking of its land grant mission and the fact that the Oval used to be a pasture for grazing sheep. He is also nothing if not a humanist and a deep thinker about civility, about democracy. And so his first iteration was the bean field. He basically, inspired by Thoreau, created a bean field just outside the Wexner Center in a small plot between the center and the Oval. That subsequently transformed into a sheep meadow where he literally planted whatever sheep feed on. He'll have to fill you in. I'm not much of an agrarian.
Clover.
Thank you, Michael. And then brought those sheep there once a month. And you should have seen the looks on student faces. They had never seen farm animals
They had to back up and look again. You know, what was that? You know.
And there was even a little white pasture fence, which was so adorable. And then finally, there was a project that we worked hard to realize, the wind farm. And I still think it will have its day, but perhaps not quite on that little plot. But Michael has continued to sort of plow the field, as it were, and turn it over. But it's really just an example of the way that the WEX, and I credit my entire team at the WEX, this is not about me, is an artist-centric institution. When artists come to us with ideas, we try and put the full faith and credit of the institution behind realizing those ideas and the full faith and credit of the university. So if you can imagine all the artists who have been here, especially those who have created new work in residency or under commissions, they have worked with the Med Center, with engineering, with the law school, obviously with all of the art departments as well. There is simply no end to the number and nature of collaborations that we can help to forge. And that has been one of the most invigorating aspects of being at the Wexner Center all these years.
But it takes a wonderful visionary to say this is something complete, that's something that Michael creates is something completely original that nobody would ever think of, and it needs to be done. And you make it happen. Two of you. I think it's fair to say that.
Well, and I would say that as Sherry's speaking, it reminds me how much the Wexner is really its synchronous relationship with the university, which is another global institution here in Columbus, has really been key and core to the Wexner's uniqueness as an arts institution. And one of the things they do, you mentioned Christopher and Bogart earlier. I've been lucky enough to probably see maybe half a dozen of Anne's productions or more come into being and come into development. And to watch her company, City Company, grow and develop its own artistic expression. And again, so, not only is it a yes place, but it's careful about its yeses and it's willing to say yes more than once.
Fair to say.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for the sustained relationships we have had with many artists, visual artists, theater makers, dance makers, music composers and performers, filmmakers. One of the best kept secrets about the Wexner Center and the only truly full-time laboratory that we have is a film video production studio. It's essentially a post-production studio. But the number of filmmakers, it's probably close to 500 now over the years, who have come through there to do various projects, some of them multiple times. These are emerging filmmakers, established filmmakers, illustrious ones. The emerging filmmakers you will often see a few years later on the festival circuit, from Sundance to Toronto to Berlin to Cannes. We have a very, very active kind of incubator spirit. And I think artists have come to recognize the center for that. And I do feel that it is so much at the core of the center's mission, but also at the core of its ethos and its very existence. We're always happy when there are artists in the house.
Well, the community is happy, too, because it's certainly a quality of life issue for residents here. It's a magnet that attracts people to this city. Recently, the 10 most livable cities in America list was published, and we were on the list. I mean, Columbus was very much on that list, which isn't true every year, but it's true now. And I dare say it's because there's so much creativity and there's so much encouragement going on, and there's the audience to sustain it. Speaking of the audience to sustain it, Chad Whittington, the president of Kappa, with the Ohio Theater, the Palace Theater, I'm gonna forget if it's the Southern Theater, everything light downtown. The holidays are coming. What's the buzz?
Wow,
Sell me some tickets.
It's a busy month in December. We're thrilled. We start with the Symphony's Holiday Pops, which is this weekend at the Ohio Theater. And then following that at the Ohio, we'll have the Nutcracker through Christmas. It's JAG has their Home for the Holidays program over at the Southern. And then you get into next week, there are a lot of single night shows that CAP is doing related to the holidays. We've got Hip Hop Nutcracker, which is a return from last year. A great family show and a very contemporary take on an old story, obviously. Dave Kaa's Christmas Tour, that's an annual event for us at Kappa. Great event, great night out. Over the Rhine Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas. And Pro Musica has their Messiah sing-along coming up as well.
Tell me about the new Palace Theater.
It is beautiful. The first time I walked in there, once the restoration was done and stood on the stage, it just took my breath away. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to see it yet, you've got to get over it and take a look at it. New seats and things like that, but more importantly, we repainted the auditorium, really bright colors. We put some wall coverings up to give it contrast. It's like being in a new theater. It's an amazing experience.
You are also, I'm not sure what the term is, but you are help or colleague with Ballet Met, with the opera, with with just about anything that goes on. How is that working out? How does that work?
It works very well. So the relationships
are
different.
That's not what I meant. I mean, I know it works very well.
Yeah, in some cases we're just the landlord for these groups. In other cases, we share administrative duties. That's really the strength of the shared services model. Is you talk about things like marketing and fundraising and accounting, space, office space, printers, copiers, all that fun stuff. We share those things, so we spend less of our dollars on administrative costs as separate organizations than we would standing alone. So what does that mean? That means we've got more dollars to put back into the art. And it gives each of those groups more of an opportunity to focus on the artistic side of what they do than worrying about copier agreements and worrying about HR issues. We handle those. So that's what Kappa, that's one of our expertises, and we can do those and let everybody else focus on bringing great art to Columbus.
More and better presentations in all the theaters and in New Albany and at the Drexel. Just more, and more is better. I'm very much of that mindset, Kappa, an integral part of the arts in Columbus, a complement to the Wexner Center. Sherry Gilden, I was reading a little bit about you and I saw something very intriguing, that one of the things that you wanted to do and have done was to encourage what was called difficult conversations, difficult conversations on topics of the arts and ... Can you talk about some of these difficult? What is that?
I think it's less about our creating them than our providing a space for them to happen, a space that encourages people of diverse backgrounds, ethnicities, religions, identities to come together around some of the most sort of pressing contemporary issues, socially, economically, otherwise. And the arts can provide a kind of lens and open a door to those conversations in ways that might not otherwise take place. So whether inspired by a film, a performance, an exhibition, a panel, what have you, the notion of bringing artists and thought leaders and innovators together to kind of tease out some of what we all face in the 21st century. You know, artists do not isolate themselves in studios and think only about producing amazing things. They do that, but they do that as citizens of the world. And it's really important that we recognize the value of these creative voices in how we go about thinking about our world and problem solving about our world. One of the things that I've always felt really strongly about is that when we're thinking about the issues that are most challenging, don't just have the subject experts at the table. Bring some people who have a kind of a different universe of thought and creative license, and let artists sort of mix it up with those subject experts, because I think oftentimes they will bring a perspective that no one else will. And I know Michael and Anne and so many of the artists at the WEX over the years have been called upon in that role. And I think one of the things that is making Columbus a more thriving community is that there is now a greater appreciation for and emphasis on those creative minds and spirits and talents among us.
I also think there's more of an interest in conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, and really conversation, yeah. And just looking at something or watching something and then taking what you've absorbed and doing something with it.
Well, and I think that is what's really at the heart. You posed the question about difficult conversations. So since 2005, we've had an annual program called the Director's Dialogue on Art and Social Change. And you hear a lot these days about intersectionality, about how different fields overlap, come together, sometimes in ways that actually expand and amplify the problems, but also kind of come together to create some solutions. And, you know, the WEX has been doing this from the get-go, really thinking about how these people, whether it's a Martin Scorsese or an Elizabeth Streb or a Michelle Alexander or a Luke Toymans or an Anne Bogart and an Anne Hamilton, how the work that they're doing both reflects on our lives today, but also poses alternatives for approaching the issues that we deal with. And our Director's Dialogue series has touched on everything from gender bias to race bias to the difficulties of returning veterans to mass incarceration. You name it, artists are grappling with these issues, and we feel it's really important for the public to be able to come together with these creatives and also subject experts to better understand and hopefully address them.
And you, Michael Mercer, as an artist and an educator, what are your students? You're sending students out into the world. You're sending artists out into the world. What has been their experience with the Wexner Center? How has it benefited them?
I think I can give you maybe a cogent example relative to the topic of the difficult. It's important to understand that the difficult is often the seed of creativity for an artist and for an artist to respond to. And one example I could give is Anne and I sponsor a visitors program through the Department of Art and through the College of the Arts at OSU. And we almost always partner with the Wexner Center using their film video theater as the place where speakers come. And about a year ago or a year and a half ago, we had a guest, Carrie Mae Weems, who is one of the most significant African-American artists alive today. I think of Carrie as a diva who has earned her divaship, if anyone has. And so she was scheduled to give a 4:30 lecture in the Film Video Theater, and she had arrived, and we were there, and it was more than packed. And there were people outside. There were people all over the lobby, all over the cafeteria. And it was one of those. There wasn't even room for Carrie to get into the theater. So we had a problem. And Sherry walks in and says, just a minute. We have to see if we can fix this. And the way we fixed it is we moved over to Mershon Auditorium. And so we moved from, how many does the film theater?
300.
From a 300-seat to theater to really filling the bottom floor of the Mershon. And it was like being at the church. It was really Carrie, you know, when she gives a lecture, she gives a service.
Oh, she is an orator.
And she's an orator. And we were all standing and shouting. and there was a celebration afterwards at the studio I share with Ann Hamilton. And typically we have about 70 people. And I think it was a little like we didn't quite have enough to as many
that.
As were at the Mershon. But we filled it up, and there was great joy. And Sherry also are, and Carrie Mae Weems pulls no punches when she talks. So she was both inspirational and challenging at the same time. And I think that is really how the Wexner Center works.
That describes Sherry Gelden as well. Challenging and inspirational and smart. And we'll be right back. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are at All Sides Weekend talking about the Wexner Center and its executive director, Sherry Gelden, who is here along with Michael Mersol, the art professor at The Ohio State University and, of course, an artist, and Chad Whittington, president and CEO of Kappa. I want to just retouch Chad very quickly. Picnic with the Pops, that's later. Holiday Pops, I think, opens tonight.
That's correct.
That's tonight
at the Ohio Theater.
Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, conducted by Ronald Jenkins.
Correct.
And then when's the Nutcracker?
The Nutcracker starts next weekend. That's right.
And that's the Ballet Met's Nutcracker.
That's right.
Yes.
Every year at the Ohio Theater during the month of December.
That's
it's going to be a great show.
That's the Gerard Charles Robert Post edition, which is beautiful.
Correct.
With the Columbus Symphony. I think my buddy Louis Spiava is conducting.
That's right.
If he's not, he will be now. so there's a great deal going on. And Chad Whittington, I want to thank you and your colleagues for keeping all the theaters lit downtown all the time, everything that's going on as well. And Broadway and Columbus, Hamilton, I want the H word, I won't say it. That's, you know, good luck getting tickets to that, but that's going to be fantastic.
So. It is going to be fantastic. And I think Hamilton is one of those shows that gets a lot of people paying attention to the arts and the theaters that might not normally. That's a great opportunity for all of us. I say, you know, it'll be great to get them into the theater, and then if they come back and they have an interest in the ballet or the symphony or the opera, whatever it might inspire them to do, that's a win for us as an arts community.
That's right. Hamilton, one of those shows that has grown the art form itself,
that's
which
right.
is terrific. So thank you for bringing that, and look forward to that. Sherry Gelden, I want to make the point, you're still here. You know, you'll be here through February, and there's a lot going on between now and February and certainly past that at the Wexner Center. So why don't you give us a couple of highlights,
indeed.
If you would.
I'd be happy to. But first, I just want to compliment Kappa and all the forces in the community that have recognized the importance of preserving and upgrading these theaters, which are treasures on the urban landscape, as well as places where people come together to experience the arts. There are a lot of communities that lost those iconic buildings and gathering spots and what's happened with the Ohio, now the Palace, of course, the Lincoln, I think is really essential to the fabric of a community. So bravo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Second that.
So at the moment, we currently have on view a truly dazzling exhibition, the work of Micheline Thomas, who focuses on a very specific trajectory, which is the women who have been influential in her life, whom she refers to as muses, starting with her mother. These are portraits that are painting kind of exploded. You know, think about the universe expanding. I think that Micheline has exploded the notion of what painting can be, but she also does video. She does installations and tableaus that can be inhabited by our visitors. It's just a spectacular show. Next Saturday, the 8th, we have what is one of my favorite events every year, Zoom. It's the International Family Film Program. It starts off with a cereal and pajama party, which is the cutest damn thing you've ever seen. I would urge anyone with a child from, 2 months to, to 82 to come and join us for that.
You don't want to see me in jammies.
we've all got our favorite jams, right?
That's right.
We are also thrilled to be presenting in late January a portion of what is a truly epic project by Mark Lomax, who is a composer and musician here in Columbus. I think many of your audience members know Mark. What they may not know is that he is among our artists in residence this year at the Wexner Center, and we are helping him to realize this epic project, which is called the 400 Years, an African Epic, looking at the last four centuries since Africans first set foot on this continent and the experiences that they have had from that moment forward. It will be a 12-CD series. It will be performed all over the country. Mark is working with colleges and universities. But we will be doing the first performance of a portion of that series on January. I want to get the right date because if I don't, my team will kill me. January 26th. It's a Saturday night. So don't miss that. It will be at the Lincoln Theater. So we are
You move around in the community.
We do from time to time. The Rife, the Lincoln. Yeah. We hosted Ballet Met for their 40th in Mershon, but it was a program of all contemporary composers. Choreographers, some composers too. And it is actually something I wanted to touch on because I think one of the things that the Wexner Center has done for Columbus is to demonstrate that there is an audience and an appetite for contemporary art. And if you line up, whether it's Ballet Met, CatCo, the opera, Pro Musica, the symphony, and look at the programs that they did 25 or 30 years ago and look at the programs they're doing now, they're kind of doing our act, right? So we've got to now leap forward into the next horizon. But seriously, we love the fact that there is so much happening throughout the community, at the museum as well, that we are not the only bastion of contemporary art that makes people scratch their heads. Let me also just mention two things coming up as well, an exhibition of John Waters, who is everyone's favorite iconoclast and transgressive celebrity. It is a brilliant show occupying three of our four galleries with not his films, but all of his visual work, which, collage, photography, sculpture, you name it. And alongside that, an exhibition organized by the Morgan Library, which might surprise people, on the work of Peter Hujar, a really remarkable photographer from the late 20th century, unfortunately passed away from AIDS, but documented the New York art world, but also the world of animals. He was an incredible lens on a particular time in this country's history, and particularly in the avant-garde milieu of New York in the 70s. And then one last thing I just have to mention, because I have to be multidisciplinary, is that we will be doing a series devoted to Luchino Visconti, which will be coming up in January as well. Again, let me get the dates right.
Oh,
yes,
Visconti,
sorry.
Oh.
It will be, gosh, early Visconti, January 10th to 30th. And then, of course, Cinema Revival, which will be in its, I think, fifth iteration of looking at the art and magic, really, of restoring old films. And we bring those film preservationists here, representing the studio system, representing independent producers like Criterion. It's always an incredible feast, as is the Banff Mountain Festival of Films for all the people who love the outdoors. It's a group of people who, honestly, I tend to see at the WEX only once a year, and I wish they'd come more often. I think they'd find a lot there.
You'll never be bored.
Never be bored.
And one thing, by the way, I wanted to say that we love in my house are the summer outdoor films.
Yeah.
We love that. We never miss them. They're just great. So
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate that very much. You're the next executive director of the Wexner Center has been announced.
Indeed.
Her name is Joanna Burton.
Mm-hmm.
She comes to us from the New Museum in New York, which is a contemporary museum down on the Bowery,
exactly.
which didn't exist when I lived there. So, but
it's about 40 years old now, and the Wex
is 30. It did exist when I lived there, but okay.
Well,
I
it didn't there. Exist it's, down there. It was
right.
It
right.
was in Soho.
But anyway, she is coming. I looked at some of pieces of hers on speaking on YouTube and was intrigued by her.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about Joanna Burton. How did you find her?
Joanna is a magnificent choice for the Wexner Center for the Arts. I can't take any credit for finding her. There was a terrific selection committee made up of some Wexner Center trustees, made up of obviously the provost, who was a co-chair, along with Abigail Wexner and Bob Kidder, our longtime and former board president. Faculty colleagues like Ann Hamilton and Janet Parrott. There were also community representatives, Mark Lomax, Janet Chen, Larry James. So we really put together a committee that reflected the entirety of the Columbus arts and civic leadership. And there was a search firm, and of course, you know, they came with a binder of candidates.
How long did it take?
Well,
They take a long time.
I'd say about 6 months altogether. But I have no doubt that they have come up with absolutely the ideal candidate for this position. I've spent some time with her now here and also visiting with her in New York. She is not just a brilliant curator and educator and scholar, but she is among the most approachable, warm, lovely people that you will encounter. So I've got to tell you, I'm already learning things from her.
Well, I know that in yesterday's dispatch, she was quoted about this new position for her saying that I'm in hog heaven. And I thought, well, that's okay. You know?
Michael, there's your opening.
There you are, Michael. Go for it. Yes.
Well, I would say one more thing, too. As an artist, we are very excited in the community to welcome Joanna because, for one reason, the new museum, like the Wexner Center, is an institution that has always had artists themselves at and artists working and producing new works by artists at the core of their mission. And I feel like she assures for any of those who might have had doubts 25 years ago that the future of contemporary art really belongs to Columbus, Ohio. And that's thanks in great part to Sherry Geldin and her leadership of the Wexner Center and the partnerships that the Wexner Center has made with organizations like Kappa and GCAC and, you know, the real depth and breadth of organizations supporting the arts we have here in Columbus.
Also at the Wexner Center, it's the visual arts, it's film, it's music, it's dance, it's the entire spectrum. So whatever your interest is, it's going to be served by visiting the center and just walk in. You don't even have to don't even plan your visit. Just walk in, and there'll be enough going on there. And I'm sure that Ms. Burton will continue that legacy that you're leaving her.
I have no doubt she will not just continue it, but build upon it.
Well, she'll
and,
make it her
enrich
own.
Enrich
yeah.
it, make it her yeah. own. And for those of you who may venture into the Wex for a film or a performance or an exhibition or a talk, don't forget it's one of the truly unique stores to shop for your holiday
Indeed it
gifts.
Is, yes.
so
good point.
There's shopping, too.
And there's a wonderful cafe you can eat.
There is indeed a wonderful cafe. But I want to just return to something that Michael just said. Columbus has become a really, really fertile ground for creatives in all fields. And the fact that a Wexner Center can exist and thrive here is thanks in large part to a bold vision that was created 30 plus years ago by the university, by Les Wexner, its founding benefactor, and other arts patrons in the city. And the fact that the university continues to see the Wexner Center as one of the pillars in terms of town-gown relationships, I think speaks volumes about the leadership of this institution under Michael Drake, under Bruce McFerrin, and under their predecessors. They have always recognized what the center can bring to the ecosystem of a land-grant university, and we have benefited enormously from that support.
And again, and I think, Michael, you can vouch for this because you teach young people, they stay. when they graduate, they stay. I mean, the Columbus Symphony has people – it's been their only – Kappa's been your only job, I think, Chad Whittington. Is that right?
Well, it has. And I want to circle back a minute to Sherry and the impact. And we've never talked about this that you had on me, but I was at Ohio State in the late 90s. And
you're such a youngster.
My passion from the arts, though,
Damn.
Really – My passion for the arts developed in college. Part of it is because I didn't have a lot of exposure in the community I grew up in. And so a huge part of that passion was developed at the early work that was going on at the Wexner Center.
Aww.
To have that resource on campus as a young person, to see all these art forms in one place, it made a huge impact on my life. And yes, I've been at Kappa for 20 years now, but a lot of that started from the experiences. I can't remember the exhibit now, but Julie Taymor.
It was a Julie Taymor exhibition in 1999. It was our 10th anniversary exhibition.
So, you know, the work that you did at the Wexner Center has been a huge part of where I am today.
Thank you.
Well, and it's also true that one of the things that has changed is artists really do stay here in Columbus, and you can see them everywhere. You know, they're in Franklinton, they're on campus, they're in Clintonville, they're where Anne and I have our studio in Marion Village. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the things I noticed about 10 years ago. There was a shift when I used to see our graduate students in May as they were getting ready to leave. If they were staying, it was unusual. And you almost ask them why. And now most of them do stay.
Right.
Because there are places for them to go. They find work.
They can live here.
They can live
it's
here.
It's affordable.
It's affordable. It's really changed tremendously.
I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Chad Whittington for everything Kappa does, really, to bring such quality and quantity of the arts to Columbus. Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops opens tonight. It will be on the radio December 23rd, but that's another conversation. We'll talk about that later. I thank you, Michael Mercel, artist and educator. Thank you very much for being here. Sherry Geldin, what can I say but thank you, capital T, capital Y, for all you've done to bring Columbus to the world through the Wexner Center, and still there, still going on. So
right back at you, Christopher,
thank you very much.
For all you've done.
Thank you, everybody. Today's All Sides Weekend. My thanks to our producer, Kyle McKinnon, and Mary Lee Williams, and to our interns, Martin Coleman, Kylan Martin, Missy Glockner, and Ray Brewster. Thank you all for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy. Peace out.